Morning, everyone. Today's Daf and Shabbos, Daf Kuf Dalad. Okay, we stopped yesterday right at the two dots at the... I actually went a little bit into the two dots, but okay. We're going to go back to the two dots. We're going to start on the two dots on the bottom of Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. And we're speaking about Ksav and the Malach of Ksiva. The Mishnah discusses for the first time the Malach of Ksiva in detail. It started on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, "Akosif sheosios bein biyamina bein bismol bein bishem echad bein bishtei shemos bein bishtei simanios becholosh and chayev." So the Mishnah gives us basically the baseline in terms of how do you violate the malacha of ksiva on Shabbos, and it is that you have to write two letters. Writing two letters, the Mishnah does not. It says it does not matter whether it is the same letter repeated twice or it's two different letters. The Mishnah says it doesn't matter whether you write it with your right hand or whether you write it with your left hand, and the Mishnah says that it does not matter what language it's in all those cases you'd be chayev. Now, we spent some time yesterday modifying a lot of those statements of the Mishnah. So, for example, how can you be chayev if you write with your left hand? Assuming you're a righty, you're not going to be chayev for writing with your left hand. That's a shinui. It's also to do so, but you're not going to be chayev. It's not Malacha Shabbos. So the Gemara said yesterday we're talking about someone who's ambidextrous. What about writing the same letter twice? So we learned yesterday a long brisa that we finished up yesterday that says that it's not agreed to by everybody whether you're going to be chayev for writing the same letter twice. If we saw a brisa yesterday that produced no fewer than five separate opinions in terms of when exactly you're going to be chayev when writing two letters. Does it have to be the same letter? Can it be different letters? If it's the same letter, does it have to make a meaningful word? Does it not have to make a meaningful word? So that was the brisa that we went through yesterday. We are in the Gemara. I'm going to start from Amar Rav Yehuda, Matzina Shem Katan Mishem Gadol. Okay, and the opinion of Rav Yehuda is that if I start writing, let's say, the word the name Shmuel or the name Shimon, so it starts off with the letter Shin Mem, and then after writing the letter Shin and Mem, I then decide, you know what? I'm good. I like it. Shame. It's a name. One of the three sons of Noach. Let's keep it that way. And you keep it that way, so Rabbi Yehuda darshan yesterday in the Brisa, you're going to be chayev. If you were even though it wasn't your original intent to write the word shame, the name shame, but because in of itself it is a name, even though your intent was to write shame gadol, you're going to be chayev. And he had psukim to darshan it, and that's what we saw in the yesterday in the opinion of Yehuda. The question, which everybody I'm sure was thinking about, which the Gemara now is going to express, is the following. I don't understand. When you're writing the word Shmuel, so that's a mem pasuach. It's an open mem. When you're writing the name Shame, so you're writing it with a mem sasum, a closed mem, or what we call mem sophis. So how can we chayiv when you're not writing the right mem? The Gemara asks this question, midami mem de shame sasum mem de shimon pasuach, am rav chistas osamer sasum vasu pasuach kasher. So Rabbi Shimon says, okay, so we're going to walk away with a conclusion, which is that if I need to write mem sasum, and I wrote pasuach, it works. Not the best way to do it, not the preferred way to do it, but it works. So Meisr, the Gemara now is going to challenge this based on a brisa. The brisa starts off with Chsavtem, the pasuk in Parshas Ekev, talking about the mitzvah of writing up tefillin and mezuzos, uchsavtem amezuzos beisecha uvish arecha. And the Gemara darshan shetehei ksiva tama. It has to be a complete ksiva, meaning one of the basic rules regarding writing sifrei kedusha, specifically tefillin, mezuzos, and I assume this halacha of ksiva tama also applies to sifrei Torah as well, is that it has to be, the letters have to be complete. Shelo yichtov alfenayin. And here we're going to go now and give examples. Now, I'm going to try to illustrate some of this on the board, so I'm not a sofer. In fact, we have one here in the community. I should have invited him up to the daf today, because he would have done a much better job than me. So all you get is me right now. So it's okay. Aleph. Okay. Similar, right? Similar.
Okay.
No, the Gemara's not talking about sound now. The Gemara's talking about the actual ksiva. Ksiva tama.
Ksiva tama.
So, okay, it's hard to imagine how they can get confused. In other words, I guess this line over here can be extended downward, make it a little bit longer. Okay. Again, I'm just giving you very rough sketches of how they could be confused. Shlo yichtov alfen ayinan ayinan alfen. Bezin chafen chafen bezin. That one I think is self-evident. That one you can see very clearly. Here's a beis, here's a chaf. difference, of course, is that little leg that extends outwards. So the Gemara says he can't make sure that your base doesn't look like a chaf, or nor vice versa. And gamin sadin, sadin gamin. Your gimel cannot look like a tzadi, your tzadi cannot look like a gimel. Okay. Again, just a rough sketch. Here's your gimel. Here's your tzadi. Okay. I mean, I guess if you invert it, maybe. All right. It's not exactly the same, but it could be confused. So gimel tzadin, tzadi gimel. Dalsin, reish, and dalsin, that is self-evident, meaning the only difference between a dal and a reish is a little tail that extends on the upper right-hand corner. Hey, ches, hey, that one's also very easy. They both are rectangular in shape, of course, missing the bottom. The difference between the ches and the hey is that little opening that exists in the top left-hand corner. Vav, yud, yud, vav, that one also is very self-evident, meaning that the only difference between the yud and vav is the length of the leg. A zainin, nun, and nun, and zainin. So a nun versus a zayin. Okay, again, also very similar. It's basically just an extension going down. The zayin's got a roof, and the nun has got a roof and a leg. Tes pei, pei tes. So the difference between pei and tes, right? You see this one? Pei, and then tes. Okay.
Same shape.
Okay, yeah, right. In other words, if I take this and kind of like, you know, turn it.
So
the pay and the test are. Yeah, they're there. So, so payfin, test, and payfin. Where'd I go? Kfufin, pshutin, pshutin, kfufin. And here's a part of the brisa now where we're really going to zoom in on and key in on. Just give me a second. So, the. Because the brisa says over here that if it's pasha, you can't make a kafuf, and if it's kafuf, you can't make a pasha. And that's basically the difference between the mem sofit, I'm sorry, the nun sofit and the nun pasuach, and the pei sofit and the pei pasuach. Meaning, what does that mean, straight versus bent? Meaning, if I'm making a chaf looks like this, I'm making chaf sofit, it's pasha, it goes straight down. Right? And the same thing is true with most of them. Nun sofit. In other words, so this is kafuf and that's pashut. And the brisa says, I can't mix the two of them. And if I mix the two of them, so it's no good. The sefer Torah is no good. So, I'm sorry, memim samchin, samchin memin. Your mem can't look like a samch, your samch can't look like a mem. That's pretty self-evident. Stumim psuchim, psuchim stumim. Okay. And your pasuch can't be sasim, your sasim can't be pasuch. And that's a reference to the mem. Anyway, let's just finish up. Parsha Pesucha, lo yasen astuma, stuma lo yasen Pesucha. You know, when you open up a Sefer Torah, you're going to find that the Torah is broken up into paragraphs. And the paragraphs, it's either a hard break or a softer break. Right? That's the difference between Sasim versus Pasuach. But anyway, when you're writing a Sefer Torah, you have to be sensitive to that. You have to actually make the breaks in the Sefer Torah. If the breaks are not there, so it's a Pasul Sefer Torah. Kasva Kishira. Osha Kasuf is a Shir Kayotze Ba. Now, what if you write the Torah like a Shir? When you get to Az Yashir in the Sefer Torah, you'll notice that it is not just simply letters running from one end, from the beginning of the column to the end of the column, but rather they kind of look like bricks built one on top of the other. Az Yashir looks like that. Okay, Vizos Abracha, Hazinu, kind of, doesn't look exactly like that, but anyway, but it's structured differently when you write it, so you can't. You can't deviate from that plan. In other words, Asya Ashir has to be written Kishira. And the rest of the Torah has to be written not like Kishira, and you cannot deviate. Osha Kasav Shalob Dio, Osha Kasav Hezkars Bezahav, or let's say you don't write with Dio. Dio means the permanent ink that was used back then. We'll discuss more of that today. Osha Kasav Hezkars Bezahav, or you write when you write Shem Hashem. So you want to beautify your Sefer Torah. You want the Sefer Torah to really look nice. So you know what you do? My girls would do this. Given the chance. So they would take the shamus of Hashem and they would glitter it with gold and make the Torah look beautiful. So the brisa says you can't do that. Hare elu yiganezu. You put that in Geniza. In other words, so it has Kedusha, but it can't be used, so you had to put it into Geniza. Adkan divrei habraisa, that is the end of the totality of the brisa. What do we get out of this brisa? I can't make my mem sofit a mem pasuach. I can't make my mem pasuach and mem sofit. So now, according to this brisa, shemi Shimon, shemi Shmuel, how is that working? How are you doing that? So Hudamer ki'aitanus. The Gemara says you're right. That brisa will not work. The Gemara says, but we have another braisa. Ditanya Rav Yehuda ben Bezerra Omenem b'sheni v'niskehem b'shishi unesachecha b'shvi'i kemishpatan hare mem yud mem. When we get to the parsha of the Karban Musaf of Sukkos, when Parshas Pinchas, so the Torah goes through each of the days in which another carbon, another set of carbonos are brought, and if you'll notice on days 2, 6, and 7, right, total of course of 7 days of Sukkos, so on days 2, 6, and 7, so there's just a small change of the way the Torah formulates these psukim, so that on day 2, instead of saying unesachecha, it says v'niskehem. There's that extra mem. And notice, that mem is what? Mem pasuch or mem sasum? Sasum, it's closed. B'shishi unesachecha. Instead of saying v'niska, extra yud. So far we have now an extra mem, we have an extra yud. And b'shvi kemishpatam, instead of saying kemishpat, the Torah says kemishpatam, that's another extra mem. So now hare mem, yud, mem, I will put the three letters together, and what do I get? Mayim. I get the word Mayim Mikan, Remez and Nisuch HaMayim in the Torah. So here's a reference to Nisuch HaMayim. We know in Sukkot there's a mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayim. We assume it to be Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. This Braisa says it's not Halach LaMoshe MiSinai, or maybe it is, but it's encrypted in the Torah. It's coded into the Torah. Those extra letters that are found throughout the Psukim of the Nisachim and the Musafim of Sukkot encrypts the mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayim every day in the Beis HaMikdash for the 8 days of Sukkos. I know I said seven before, but I was talking earlier about the special musaf for Sukkos. But for the 8 days of Sukkos, there's a mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayim where you pour water over the onto the Mizbeach, southwest corner of the Mizbeach. But what you see over here is that this encryption only works if the letters are adjustable. Meaning, we got a mem sofit, we got a yud, and we got a mem sofit. And we're now spelling out the word mayim. Well, how are you spelling out mayim? Mem sofit, yud, mem sofit. So it must be that the letters are interchangeable. That's the argument of the Gemara. Umi de pasuch vasu sasum kasher, sasum nami, sasum vasu pasuch kasher. So the Gemara says, okay, and so what do you see? That if I needed to write a mem pasuach, the open letter mem, and instead I write a mem sasum, it works. Clearly, you see that from the encryption of mayim. So it must work the other way as well. In other words, if I needed to write a mem sasum and instead write a mem pasuach, that also works. That's how the Gemara assumes it to be so. Mi dami, the Gemara says, I'm not so sure if you're right about that. Meaning that's an assumption that we can go in two directions. Maybe not. Pasuch vaso sasum ilui kama'ale lei. If I needed to write a mem pasuach, the open letter mem, and instead I wrote a mem sasum, that's an upgrade. Now the Gemara says, how do you know it's an upgrade? The Amr of Chista, because Rav Chista says, mem v'samach shebeluchos b'nes ayomdim. The mem and the samach in the luchos were there b'nes. Now if we can envision the luchos, the luchos were chiseled into them, the Aseres Hadibros, where Moshe came down. And when we say chiseled into them, we mean chiseled all the way through. It's just not simply an engraving on the luchos, but it was chiseled all the way through. So for most of your letters, if it's chiseled all the way through, so that's fine. Meaning if you go to the Aleph, you want to chisel the Aleph all the way through, that'll work. In other words, because there's attachments all around. But if I want to take a mem or a samach, and obviously when we're talking about a mem over here, we're talking about a mem sofit, or we're talking about a samach, either one, and I want to chisel it all the way through. So I'm chiseling the blue, so how is this inner part of the mem, or the inner part of the samach, how is it staying there in the middle of the air, not being held by anything? And that's what Rav Chista says. B'nei sayu omdim. They stood there miraculously. They didn't move. So, what you see from here, says Rashi, that is that the original mem was a mem sasum. Right? That's how Rashi understands our Gemara. Take a look at Rashi. On the inside, take a look at the top, Rashi. Ilui kama alei sha'aisa mem stuma beluchos. Ava mem psucha lo aisa beluchos. There was no mem pasuach in the luchos, not because there was no mem in the middle of the word, right? Zachor v'shamor, just as an example. Although I guess you can ask which one was written on the luchos. Anyway, but they're mems, but it wasn't pasuach. It was sasum. It was a closed mem. Kidim mefarsh men atzbach sofim amram. Because as we're going to see in just a moment, says Rashi in the Gemara, the letters mem nun sadi pei chaf, they have two different forms to them The second form, that was set over by Nevi'im, later generation introduced that to us. Okay, stay tuned. We're going to discuss that in just a moment. Now, the mem and the samach standing there miraculously can only be talking about the mem sasum, not the mem pasuach. The mem pasuach doesn't need a miracle. The mem sasum does. The whole vaksev ayinir mishnei evrehem hayelalipol im lo shebenes haya omed. Because if there's nothing holding it in there, it should fall down. But the middle part of the engravement is just standing there. And therefore, Rashi says, by process of elimination, when Rav Yirmiyah is going to tell us in just a moment that the Menatzvach, the second version of these laws were introduced by a later generation of Nevi'im, must be that it's referring to the other version of the mem, the non-sussum version of the mem. That is the logical structure of our Gemara over here. And so what do you see? What the Gemara now is arguing is that the mem sussum, that was the original mem. Being that that was the original mem, obviously, that's the best version of the mem. So if I need to write a mem pasuach, and instead I decide, you know what, for today, let's not write a mem pasuach, let's write a mem sussum, upgrade. He did good. But the Gemara says, but who's to say it would go the other way? That I needed to write a mem sasum, and instead I write a mem pasuach. That's not upgrade. That could be that you're downgrading, and could be that that's no good. And once again, now we're trying to support. All this was because we were trying to support the sheet of Rav Yehuda, that if I'm planning on writing Shmuel, and instead of writing Shmuel, I write Shame, that'll work. But it shouldn't work. Because when I wrote the mem, I obviously wrote a mem pasuach, because I was planning on writing Shmuel. And then after writing the shin in the mem, I said, you know what, I'm happy, that's fine. But now all I got is a mem pasuach. And what do you want to tell me, that they're interchangeable? Yeah, maybe interchangeable going from mem pasuach to mem sasum, because that's an upgrade. But not going mem sasum back to mem pasuach, could be that that's a downgrade. That is the argument now the Gemara is trying to argue. We're on the top of the Amud, we're continuing the Gemara. Damar Rav Chista Mem v'Samach Shabaluchos B'nei Sayyum Dim El Asasim Asu Pasuch Guru Kamigarile. That's exactly what the Gemara is now arguing. It's a downgrade. Damar Rav Yirmiya V'Tem Rav Chia Barava Menatzvach Sofim Amrum. These letters, these five letters, Mem Nun Sari Pei Chav, so they were set over by Nevi'im. Now that does not mean, even at this stage of the Gemara, that the Nevi'im, the later Nevi'im came up with these letters. No, the letters always existed. But the other version of these letters, right, in fact, the version that you actually see right in front of you in the Gemara, right, the open mem and the hooked nun and the hooked sadi. Actually the chaf over here is a chaf sofis. But anyway, it's these versions of these letters that were said over by Nevi'im. An interesting point, which Tosfos, not here, I think in Megillah, deals with when the Gemara introduces us to Menatzpach, the Gemara does not give it to us in the correct order. Right? Chaf obviously comes before Mem and Nun. Pei comes before Tzadi. Okay. All right. An interesting point. Could be that it just simply rolls off the tongue easier that way when you say Menatzbach. Could be. Or anyway, so it's self imamur b'tiz bravaksi ve'lam etzroshena navira shalechadish davar meata. So the Gemara says, but wait a second. Are you really suggesting that the Nevi'im actually came up with this other version of how to write the letters? It can't be. In other words, we don't have the right to come up with, that's a chiddush. Meaning, we talk about chiddushim nowadays. Chiddush HaTorah nowadays means is that, you know, there's a issue between what the Gemara here says versus what the Gemara there says, and you try to resolve the issue. You know, and you come up with a novel idea, a new concept. But chiddush over here, meaning in the sense that they're coming up with actually a new way to write a letter, they have no, Nevi'im don't have a right to do that. Ein navi rashai lechadesh davar. So me'ata ela me'ata me'hava havai me'da lo hava yadin. So the Gemara makes another suggestion. Well, maybe like this. Maybe we always knew about the two versions of the mem, the nun, the tzadi, the pei, the chaf. We always had a closed version and an open version. But what we didn't know is which one belonged in the middle of the word and which one belonged at the end of the word. And the lo hava yadin, ha be'emtza teva, ha be'sof teva, vasu tzofim taknin nihu. And what the Nevi'im did is they came and they were misakin. You see the pasuach that belongs in the middle of the word. You see the sasum that ends in the, that goes in the end of the word. So the Gemara says, okay, that's still a chiddush, meaning and they don't have the right to do that. So the Gemara says, you're right. It happens to have been that when we originally received the Torah, we knew that A, there were two versions of these five letters. B, we also knew originally which one belonged in the middle, which one belonged at the end. What happened, however, is that we forgot. Shachachum v'chazrum v'yazdum. So we forgot, we lost the Mesorah. Remember the death of Moshe, there were 3,000 halachas that were forgotten. I'm not saying that this is one of them, but in other words, there was shichachas haTorah. There was the point where Torah was forgotten. This also was part of the shichachas haTorah. And so therefore what the Nevi'im did is they came back and they somehow figured it out. Which one belongs in the middle, which one belongs in the end. Okay. And where does that leave us all now? So first of all, what the Gemara suggested, that Menatzpach is a later innovation of the Nevi'im, the Gemara says that's not true. In other words, we always had two versions of the letters, and originally we knew which one belonged where. It just happens to be that there was a period of shechacha, where we forgot. Where does it leave us in terms of having the mem, where I needed to write a pasuach and I wrote a sasum, or I needed to write a sasum and instead I wrote a pasuach? So one brisa clearly says that's no good, meaning that cannot work. This brisa over here sounds like I can go from mem pasuach to mem sasum, but not the other way around. And the Gemara wants to argue on behalf of Rav Yirmiya, that it can also go the other direction as well, although it doesn't sound like there is tremendous support for that position. Okay, that's where we are right now. Gufam Rav Chista Mem v'samach shebeluchos v'deis hayom devam Rav Chista k'sav shebeluchos nikra mibifnim v'nikra mibachutz. Okay, now the luchos you can read from both sides, meaning because the carving went all the way through the luchos, so therefore I can read on the two sides. Now, obviously, all right, if it was b'derech hateva, according to the strict letters of the laws of nature and science. So if I'm reading it from the other side, I'm going to be reading it, obviously, backwards. Okay, it will not read as a sentence. So I guess you could chalk this up as another nes, that on the luchos, it could be read on both sides. But not the way I always used to think, where basically, just in other words, it read the same way on both sides. The Gemara says, no. Kegon Navuv Buvan. Rahav Bahar or Bahar Rahav. Okay. And Saru Viras. Meaning that if it was read front ways on one side, it reads backwards on the other side. Meaning, I guess, this is the way the Gemara sounds like it's saying. The letters looked like they were all facing left, meaning the correct direction. But in other words, the words that were produced were the words the reverse of the words that were produced on the front. Okay, interesting. Tosfos makes the observation. The three examples that we used over here to illustrate how the letters were read from the front and backwards from the back are all examples that are actually not in the luchos. And why the Gemara gives three examples that are not in the luchos? So Tosfos is curious as to why that should be.
Why is that a miracle?
Well, they still read, meaning that they're not reversed letters. They're still going to read, but they're just going to read the other way. So the Bnei HaYeshiva, the school children, they come to Yeshiva and they say things in the Beis Medrash that even during the days of Yehoshua ben Nun, they were not said. Now I know it's funny, the Gemara just finished up by saying, Ein Hanavi Rasha Lechadesh Badavar. Like, Navi can't come up with anything new. And then the Gemara says, oh, and by the way, nowadays we say these things in the Beis Medrash and it's new. But I guess the point being, kind of like what I said earlier, is that to be Mechadesh Davar, which is prohibited, would be to come up, you know, Yesh Me'ayin. That's like to come up with something from nothing. But in other words, to come up with an insight, a new idea, right, that's the type of Chiddush which is fine. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go through Aleph Beis. And we're going to do this in many different ways, in many different versions. In fact, we're going to learn a little bit of Kabbalah today. Now, I don't say that as a teaser, as, you know, but Rashi says it. Rashi actually says that. Some of our Gemara over here comes out of Sefer Yetzirah. So, Right. You need to speak to somebody who's informed, and that's not me, about the relationship between the Gemara and the Kabbalah, and the if there's any other interplay between the two and any other intersection, not that I know of. But anyway, but what we're going to do, however, is we're going to darshan letters. Okay, you'll see. We'll go through it, and you'll get a good sense of what we're talking about. Okay, so what we're going to do now is we're just basically going to go through the letters one by one, systematically, from the beginning to the end. Now, each letter has a name. Okay, in other words, there's a way to write it. Right? There's an aleph right in the middle. And it also is called an aleph. Now, the beauty of the Hebrew language is that just the name of the letter has meaning. So what we're going to do now is we're going to really invoke meaning into each letter. And we're actually going to string together a sentence using all 22 letters of the aleph beis. Aleph beis, so the Gemara starts off, aleph bein, the word aleph means to learn. Right, whenever you see the Gemara use the word Yalfusa, right, that means to learn. So Aleph Bina, learn insight. This is the Dardiki, the young children expounding the Aleph Beis. Gimel Dalis. Now we're up to the next two letters of the Aleph Beis. So Gemul Dalim. Gemul, of course, like Gemilas Chesed, you should give to the Dal, to the poor. My time Pshuta Kari de Gimel Agave Dalin. Now that we're formulating these sentences, so now what the Gemara is going to do is look at the actual structure of the letter and then take our pshat that we just said and then invest more meaning into the pshat. Meaning, look at the gimel, look at the dalin. Do I have a gimel? Sure. Do I have a dalin next to it? No. Okay, I can change that. Right, disclaimer, I'm not a sofer, so that's the best you're getting today. So the gimel, of course, is gomel, and that's the giver. I know it starts with a G. And the dalet is the poor. So that's the, so why is it? So my taima, pshuta kare de gimel agave dalet, that the leg of the gimel is kind of running after the dalet. Shekein darko shel gomel chazadim, larut sachar dalim. Because if you're a real gomel chesed, so you run. You run after the poor people. Right, I know nowadays it's kind of the opposite, but that's obviously if we can take a little Musar away from the Gemara today, obviously the Gemara is saying that's not how it should be. The way it should be is that the Gomel should be running after the Dalet. Or my time of Pshuta Kare de Dalet Gabi Gimel. Now, why is the leg of the Dalet inclined towards the Gimel? My picture does not do justice. So in other words, the leg is not straight down. Okay, it kind of leans a little bit towards the right. Like that. I really should have gotten Rabbi Rosenfeld up here. That was a mistake. So my time mahadape de dal migemel delitain le. No, I skipped, I'm sorry. Oh my time of shutakari de dal legabi gimel, de limfe le nafshe. Because even though the general direction is that the gimel is running after the dalid, but the dal shouldn't run that fast. Meaning the dalet should have a little bit of incline, a little bit of direction towards the gimel, not make it so difficult for the gomel to give to the dal. My time in mahadra ape the dalet mi gimel. Now, why is it that the dalet is turned away from the gimel? Meaning, if we can give each letter a face, okay. The gimel obviously is facing to the left, the dalet facing to the left. I guess you could say that pretty much about every letter, right? In other words, okay, not everyone, but you understand. So why is the dalet facing away from the gimel? The litain le bitzina. Because what you should do is you should give it bitzina, meaning don't face him, but give it privately, right? Rambam's 8 levels of staka, we all know, we're all familiar, let's move on. So that there will not be embarrassment. Obviously, the dalet faces the gimel, and the dalet sees that the gimel is giving it to him, so it's going to be more kisif, it'll be embarrassing for the dalet. Hey, vav. We're up to the next two letters of the aleph beis. Zeshmosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? During Hoshanas, we say, Ani vaho hoshiana. Right? Vaho, vav, hey, vav. So, myself together with ho, hoshiana. And see Rashi over there in Sukkot. So, right, fourth parak, I think. So anyway, but the hey vav v'shem shal kadosh baruch hu. Now we are going to run through the next 6 letters of the aleph beis: zayin, ches, tes, yud, chaf, lamed. And you'll see as the Gemara now goes through all 6 of these letters. V'imata osekein. So in other words, if you are aleph bina and you are gimel dalet gomel dalim, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do the following to you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zayin Oscha, he's going to support you, that's a Zayin. V'chein Oscha, and give you chein, that's a Ches. U'meitiv Lecha, and he will do good for you, that's a Tes. V'nosein Lecha Yerusha, Yerusha obviously is a Yud. V'kosh Lecha Keser La'olam Haba, and you'll have a Keser for the world to come, that's the Chaf. And La'olam Haba, that's the Lamed of La'olam Haba. Mempsucha Mempstuma, okay, we are now halfway through, and now we're up to the Mem. The mem is open, the mem is closed. Why two versions of the mem? Ma'amar pasuach, ma'amar sasum. Sometimes it's wonderful to keep your mouth open, and then of course there are times when it's important to keep your mouth shut. And Rashi points out, im yesh gadol mimcha. So if you're in the presence of someone that's greater than you, so that would be an excellent time not to speak. Nun kfufa, nun pshuta. The nun, two versions of the nun, one's bent and one is pshuta. The straight-legged nun that goes down at the end of the word. Ne'eman kafuf, ne'eman pashut. If you're a ne'eman, so a person who is saintly, someone who is a pious individual, so you're bent over in this world, out of humility. And then, ne'eman pashut, and in the olam haba, in the world to come, you will not be bent over. Meaning, if you bend yourself over in this world, and make yourself humble in this world, so then you will be straight in the world to come. Samech ayin, smoch aniyim. So one pshat of samech ayin is that you should support the poor. Lishna achrina simanim asei b'torah v'kaneosa. Another meaning behind the samech and the ayin is create simanim. And if you create simanim in the Torah, asei simanim. Or the other way around. Simanim asei. So in other words, when you learn the Torah, obviously it's a lot of information that you got to incorporate and you got to remember. And what's a good memory aid? Mnemonics. We find it all the time in the Gemara. The Gemara uses mnemonics and basically create mnemonics to help you remember all the various halachas in the Torah. Pei kfufa, pei pshuta. So we're up to the letter pei. The pei is bent, the pei is straight. The pei in the middle of the word and the beginning of the word is bent. The pei at the end of the word is straight. Leg goes straight down. Pei pasuch, pei sasum. Again, same basic story. Mouth opened, mouth closed. Tzadik kafufa v'tzadik pshuta, tzadik kafuf, tzadik pashut. Similar idea that we had regarding the chaf, that straight versus bent. So the tzadi is bent in this world, and the world to come it will be pashut. Hainu ne'eman kafuf ne'eman pashut. So the Gemara says, but basically, aren't we there already? Meaning, haven't we covered that particular area already? So hosif l'cha hakasuv kfifa al kfifa so. Even more, meaning you cannot make yourself any, there's no limit to how humble you could be in this world, and you can even add to your humility. Because Shanitna Torah ben Menod Rosh, Torah was given to the humble person. Of course, the most humble, the prototype of humility, Moshe Rabbeinu, was Anav Mikol Adam, Kuf Kadosh Resh Rasha. Now the Kuf is a reference to the Kadosh, to the Holy One, and Resh, of course, is a reference to Russia. And my time mahadarape de Kuf me Resh. So why is it that the Kuf's not facing the Resh? So Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu ein ani yachol listakel b'Russia. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I can't look at the Russia. My time mahadre tage de Kuf legabe Resh. However, there is a tag. There's a small crown on the Kuf. And why is it that it's in the direction of the Resh, the Rasha? Because if the Rasha does tshuva, which is always possible, so I will give him a tag, I'll give him a crown, just like I have. Why is it that there's a little opening on the Kuf?
Our Kuf, has a little opening right over here. The Resh, which is right next to it. So why does the Kuf have a little opening right over there, asked the Gemara. By the way, the Kuf, it's interesting. I said all the letters face towards the left. The Gemara is assuming the Kuf faces to the right. In other words, the imagery is that Kadosh cannot be looking at Russia.
So why is it that there's a small little opening at the side of the Kuf? My Tamikari the Kuf Tuluya, the Ahada Bele Ayol. So that if the Russia wants to do tshuva, so he can go in through that opening. So the Gemara says, V'leo b'hach b'hach. The Gemara wants to know, okay, if all it's a question of the Resh going into Kadosh, can't the Resh basically go down wrap around the tail of the kuf, the leg of the kuf, and go in? Can he go in that way? So Messiah L'Reish Lakish, Amrish Lakish, my dechsev im laleitzim hu yalitz ula anavim yitain chayin. Pasuk and Mishle, we're familiar. Bali tami poschan lo bali tar messiah oso. Because you get assistance. So if a person wants to be a Baal Tshuva, and he wants to be Matar himself, and he wants to further be Matar himself, he will receive support from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the opening on the kuf over there, which is the closest area to the Reish, makes it easy and accessible so that if the Rasha wants to do Tshuva, he has a means of going in. Shin Sheker Tav Emes. The Shin is a reference to Sheker. Tav is a reference to Emes. My time is Sheker Mekarvan Mile. Emes Merach Kamile. The Gemara now wants to know, Sheker is made up of three letters, Shin, Kuf, Reish, and they are all next to one another in the Aleph Beis. Why is it Emes is made up of the three letters Aleph, Mem, Tav, and they are the furthest distance from one another in the Aleph Beis? The Aleph is the first, Tav is the last, and Mem is right in the center. So the Gemara's explanation goes like this, Shikra Shchiach, Kushta Lo Shchiach. Profound answer of the Gemara. So Sheker, common. You'll hear Sheker all the time. So Emes, not that common. So in other words, so the common are going to be close to one another, frequent. The Emes, not that frequent. My time Sheker Achad Dekare Kai Emes Mal Bein Levune. Why is it that Sheker is made out of three letters, where each one of the three letters has no base, even the Shin? I know in the Gemara in front of you, the Shin looks like it has a nice solid base on the bottom, but writing it in Safras, so it's on an angle. And the Kuf obviously has no base, and the Reish has no base. And meanwhile, the MS, each one of the letters are all built on a base. The Aleph obviously has 2 points on the bottom, the Mem has a flat line on the bottom, and the Tav has 2 points on the bottom, so they are stable. So Ma Ben Levune, says the Gemara, they're like bricks. Kushta Kai, Shikra Lo Kai. And the Gemara gives it also another profound answer, and that is, Sheker does not last, it does not stand, Emes stands. Okay, and that is now round one. Ad kan hakafa aleph, and now we go round two. And what we're going to do now is we're going to do this again. We're going to go through the letters again, but we're going to go through in a different format. This is a format known as atbash. Atbash over here is what we do. We take the first and the last letter, the second to letter and the second to last letter, the third letter, third to last letter. And now what the Gemara is going to create sentences based on this methodology of atbash. Adbash Ositaev et Avelo. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's conversation, either to a Rasha or regarding a Rasha. He has despised me. Do I desire him? That is the Ositaev et Avelo. Bash the Beishin Kilot Chashak. Shmi Yachol Alav. He doesn't want me. Should I place my name on him? The Gimel Reish, third letter, third to last letter. Gufotimei. He's defiled his body. Arachamim alav. I should have compassion for him. Dak dalsosi na'al. He locked my door. Karnav lo agadea. I shouldn't cut off his keren, right? His glory. Adkan midas rishayim. That takes us to midas rishayim. Avam midas tzadikim atbash. Now we're going to go to tzadikim. And we're going to do it again. Now, yes, it is strange that the Gemara only took us through 6 of the 22 letters using the methodology of Atbash. I don't know why, but... right. Well said. That's enough for now. Atbash im atabosh. I'm sorry. Atbash im atabosh. Right? You see that? Basically, we created a sentence using the letters. Im ata, that's the at. Aleph tof, bosh, beishin. Gar dak. Okay. Im ata osekein. Gor bedok. You will live in dok. So you will be under the covering of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The canopy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Rashi. Okay. Hatz vaf chatzitza havi beinach la'af. There will be a partition between you and the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, this is to the tzaddikim. Zayin ala ches samech tuf. Sorry. Tes nun. Okay. Ein atam mizdazea min hasatan. You will not shake, you will not shudder from the satan. And here we do finish up the 22 letters using the Atbash methodology. Yam kal, amr sal shagahenam ufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ribon sha'olam liyam kol. The satan says to the sal shagahenam, okay, same I guess. says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, throw everyone into the Yam, throw everyone into the ocean. Ocean over here is an allusion, it's a reference to Gehenna. So Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Achas Bata, Yif. Now we're going to go through the letters of the Aleph Beis, and we're going to use a different type of method. What's the method over here? Okay, that's for you to figure out. Okay. I don't know. It's a method, it's a methodology. And Rashi says, I wanted to show you this Rashi this morning. Rashi says, Alpha Beta He, okay, it's a form of Aleph Beis. Eitzel Atbash, it's similar to Atbash, the Kulan Siduros, the Sefer Yetzira. And Rashi says, and you'll find all this in Sefer Yetzira. Okay? Ani Chas Aleim Ibnei Shebato, Begif Dakats. I'm going to have compassion on them because they were boe, they rejected, they kicked gift akat. What does that mean? Dakim haim, kainim haim, tzadikim haim. They are righteous, they are right, they are tzadikim. Chalak, that's the letters, I'm sorry, halak, hey lamed kuf, and l'chachelek bahem. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saying to the Satan, you don't get them. Umarzan shin taf. I'm a Gehenna lefanav Ribono Shel Olam, Mar'e Zenune Mizero Shel Sheit. Please feed me with Zero Shel Sheit. Again, this is more petitioning from the Satan to be satisfied to receive the Bnei Yisrael. Now, I don't have a good explanation to why. I mean, intuitively, I think I kind of understand why it is that the Satan so much desires the Bnei Yisrael as opposed to any other nation. So Amrlei, so his response was Aleph Lamed Beis Mem Gimel Nun. Now this one I got. This one I figured out. The Aleph Lamed Beis Mem. So in other words, we're basically going 111, 212, 313. Okay, that one I can help you with. So Aleph Lamed Beis Mem Gimel Nun Dal Samach Lehechan Oli Chan. So where am I going to take them? You see how we're doing? Again, we're just basically using these letters to make up words, not make up, but you understand. Lehechan olechan legan hadas. I take them to the Gimel Nun Dal Samech legan hadas. Okay, and that's a reference to Gan Eden. Hey ayin vav pei. I'm a Gehenim lefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam ayef anochi. So the Gehenim says to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, I'm tired, meaning I need energy. I need food. So that's chak halalu zar shal yitzchak. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, yeah, but you're not getting them because there's zar shal yitzchak. Tafresh yud shin chaf taf. And we finish up this sequence of 111, 212, 313 with the last of them. This would be, right, okay, my brain's already fried. Tar Yeshli Kito Kito Shov de Kochavim Shanino Sinlach. I have Kitot. I have groups of Ovde Kochavim, and I'll give you the Ovde Avodah Zarah. Okay. Adkan. Okay, not just Agadata, but Agadata bordering on Sefer Yetzira. Good. I'm exhausted. Let's go home. Okay. Well, let's not. Let's go. Let's continue. Okay. Kuf Dal Amud Beis. Where we are starting now the Gemara, and we're finishing up now the sugya of Ksivan Shabbos. So we are going to now go and go over more halachos of what would constitute ksiva regarding Shabbos. Hakosu Shtei Osios Balamachad Chayev. So you write two letters in one state of unawareness. You're going to be Chayev. Okay. This is at this point in time now standard. Meaning we're totally with the program. Meaning that we know the shir of ksiva is two letters. We know that to be chayav and shabbos, you have to do behalam echad. You have to do in one state of unawareness. So if I write the two letters in one state of unawareness, I'm going to be chayav. Kasa b'diyal b'sam b'sirka b'kumus v'kan katom v'chol davashu roshem al shnei kosa zavios v'al shnei luche pinkas v'hein nehegin ze im ze chayav. So I write with ink, and it's permanent ink. Sam sikra kumus. And I write b'kumus v'kan katom. These are all examples of permanent ink. And anything which makes a lasting impression. And I write on either two walls, which are contiguous one to the other, or on two pages of the notebook, and they're contiguous one to another. And they are nehegin zebizeh. Nehegin over here from the word haggah, which means to proofread, or in this case just simply means the red. They could be read together. They could be strung together in one reading, so you're going to be chayav. Hakosev abasar chayav. What if you're writing on your skin? So you're going to be chayav. This first case is talking about writing with ink. Hamisaret abasar. Now, what if you etch onto your skin? Okay, I've been told that in order to make a tattoo, so you got to actually scratch the skin, but they fill it in with ink afterwards. That's the extent of my knowledge about this matter. So Amisar Rabbasar, Rabbi Elazar mechayev chatos chachamim pochim. So Rabbi Elazar says you're chayev chatos, meaning that is also the malach of tziva, and the chachamim say no. They pot you from bringing a carbon chatos. It's also presumably, but not a chayev chatos. Kazem b'mashkim b'mei peres ba'avak derachim ba'avak asofrim v'chol davar she'inu miskayim. If you write something which does not last, you write with the fruit juice as your ink, or you write with dirt, or you write using avak sofrim, other forms of dust. In other words, basically, you see the dust on the ground and you basically make your finger and etch into the dust. Anything which does not last, so you're going to be potter. That is a malacha that's enum eskayim, as we learned a couple of mishnayos ago. Every malacha needs kiyum. Yado potter. La'acher yado beraglo bepiva v'marpeko. If you write with the back of your hand, with your foot, with your mouth, with your either armpit or inside of your elbow. If you write one letter next to an already existing letter, that's not the shir. You have to write two letters to be chayev. If you write ksav agab ksav, meaning the letters are already there, and you just wrote over the letters. So I'm writing over existing letters. My intention was to write the letter ches, and by accident I didn't. I wrote two zions. Achas baritz v'achas b'kara. I write one letter on the floor and one letter on the ceiling, so they're not read one together with the other. Kosav abeis kosli habayis al shnei dapi pinkas ve'ein nagim zeim zeh. So if I write on one wall, I write on the other wall, and they cannot be read, they're not contiguous one to the other. Or if I write it on a notebook and they're not read together, one next to the other, so you're going to be potter. Kosav osecha no trika. Now what if I write one letter, but it's no trika, meaning like every time you see the word Rebbe in the Gemara, it's a resh with a little chupchik right over the resh. Everyone knows what that word means. Everybody. So no trick and resh. So Rabbi Yoshua ben Beser ben Chayiv. So Rabbi Yoshua ben Beser says you're going to be Chayiv because even though I didn't write two letters, but it's understood that what I'm writing signifies two letters. V'chacham and poshim, the chacham would say no. In other words, in order to be Chayiv, you have to actually write two letters. Okay, that was a tremendous amount of information. We're just going to go a little bit further today. And then we will pause till tomorrow. Dio diusa sam sama sikra amaraba babachana sikrasa. Shema. Kumus kuma kankatum amaraba babachana amarashmo charata dushkape. Now, I did very little in terms of translating the Gemara. I read the Gemara and I did a wonderful job reading the Gemara. But I didn't translate the Gemara because the Gemara is providing for us the definitions of all these things mentioned in the Mishnah into the common Aramaic terms. And if you want to even further advance this discussion, you can look at Rashi, where Rashi translates into Old French. So we went from a language we don't understand to a language we don't understand to a language we don't understand. Okay, Phil, at least you have the Old French covered. Okay, let's pause over here. Our time is up. The clock ran. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. God willing, tomorrow, Mirza Hashem will finish the 12th parak of Shabbos. Already start the 13th parak of Shabbos. We'll finish with the malacha of Kosev. The age-old question, you know, you get the book from the library, you know how the words are written on the side, and the question of whether you're allowed to open the book on Shabbos, I'll cover that very quickly tomorrow, as it comes up from basically the government tomorrow's daf. And okay, and we'll continue. Continue tomorrow. Continue Refuah Shleima to Binyamin Zev ben Sharona Rivka. Refuah Shleima to Avram Rafal ben Adzitka. And Ilui Nishama Shakri Shalom ben Mashallah. וחנניה בן הקשר מהרץ הקשר ברוך הוא לגעק מסול אפיר חכיר במתור מצר שנאמר נאי חפי כמונת ויגו יגדיל תורה וידיר.